In the name of Jesus Christ, my brother and I greet you to the house of the Lord this morning for a special occasion that we might reflect upon God's goodness in our life, and we might have thanksgiving in our hearts for the way in which has been prepared for us to commune with our Lord, and the way in which it is that we come and recognize our covenant we made in the waters of baptism. For your reading, I'll read to you out of 1 John, the first chapter. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And what better thing there is to do, saints, that at the beginning of this week, that we have opportunity to come and partake of the Lord's Supper, and to see how it is that as we lay down those shortcomings or sins in our life, that we give room for the Lord to work with our hearts, and that he might manifest himself unto us as we recognize our nothingness, and that we see that he has a plan for which it is that we are to come back to him and remember this sacred ordinance that has been given to us again in these latter days. In preparation for the invocation, I would ask that you would turn to hymn number 211, 211, after which our brother Dan will bring the invocation. Let us rejoice in our Lord and consider the things that we are about to do for the betterment of the kingdom.
O God, in the beauty of this day, the beauty of your creation, we witness, Heavenly Father, as we look around, and we witness, Heavenly Father, the beauty of the creation of these your children, and thank thee, Heavenly Father, for their presence, that they have come here this day to worship thee and to remember thy Son. And we thank thee, O Father, for the gift of thy Son, who was a sacrifice, that we might again come before thee and become pure because of the blood and the body of your Son. We pray, Heavenly Father, for our brother this hour, that thy power of thy Holy Ghost might influence his speech, that those words which he speaks might be the words of God, and not the words of man. And we pray, Heavenly Father, for an outpouring of thy Spirit, that all might feel thy presence this hour, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'd like to start out by reading a scripture this morning. So, section 83, 3C. Therefore, in the ordinances thereof, the power of godliness is manifest, and without the ordinances thereof, and the authority of the priesthood, the power of godliness is not manifest unto men in the flesh, for without this no man can see the face of God, even the Father, and live. And the ordinances and the authority of the priesthood is the key for us to have a relationship with God and Jesus Christ, and for them to manifest and reveal themselves unto us. And when we keep the authority of the priesthood and the ordinances pure, that he is able to reveal himself to a much greater degree, according to the degree that we are keeping the ordinances pure. And what a blessing it is that we have had the church, the gospel restored in 1830. And as the Church of Christ, when Christ walked the earth after many hundred years, or you know, even the evil one crept into the church and people strayed from the ordinances and broke the everlasting covenant, and eventually the church went into the what we call the dark ages. But God loves us so much, and his church was restored, and the light was brought back. And we have, as long as those ordinances are kept pure, we have all the gifts and blessings that are promised to us. You know, the ordinances, they're commandments of God, but they're for us. For we're to walk in the Spirit and to be one with Jesus Christ. And when we are able to keep his commandments, and we follow those ordinances, we are blessed, and we have a closer relationship with him. You know, there's an ordinance that marriage, you don't have to be a member of the church, but it's still an ordinance. It's of God. It's a covenant. It's not just a contract, and it's anybody that's married has made a covenant with God and with the person that they're marrying. Of course, God commands us to be baptized. It's a, you know, as the day of Pentecost when Peter was preaching, and they asked Peter, what is it that we should do? He said, repent and be baptized and receive ye the Holy Ghost. And, you know, that's the mission. God commands us when we hear the gospel that we need to be baptized. And that's the commandment. But the ordinance of sacraments is for those that have already made the covenant. It's for those that are of the church. And same with after you're baptized, that the gift of laying on of hands, of receiving the Holy Ghost, baptism of water and baptism of spirit. And also in the church of ordination and the patriarchal blessing is for those members. And you can see that these ordinances will bring us closer to Christ, for Christ calls us to be like Him. He wants us to be one with Him. As Ed said last night in his sermon, the scriptures in John chapter 15 said to abide in Him, abide in Jesus Christ. And these ordinances that we have in our church are a blessing unto us, and they truly bless us. And when we keep the commandments, the greater that we're blessed to that degree, we're able to keep all the commandments as we're commanded to, then God's blessings are endless. What a joy and what a blessing that is. I'd like to read out of Genesis chapter 6. Verse 59, and I have given unto you another law and commandment, wherefore teach it unto your children, that all men everywhere must repent, or they can in no wise inherit the kingdom of God. I'm going to skip down to 61. Therefore I give unto you a commandment to teach these things freely unto your children, saying that by reason of transgression cometh the fall, which fall bringeth death. And inasmuch as ye were born into the world by water and blood and the Spirit which I have made, so became dust a living soul. Even so ye must be born again into the kingdom of heaven, of water and of the Spirit, and be cleansed by the blood, even the blood of mine only begotten, that ye may be sanctified from all sin and enjoy the words of eternal life in this world and eternal life in the world to come, even immortal glory. For by the water you keep the commandment, by the Spirit you are justified, and by the blood you are sanctified. Therefore it is the given to abide in you to the record of heaven, and the comforter, the peaceable things of immortal glory, and the truth of all things, that which quickeneth all things, which maketh alive all things, that which knoweth all things, and that hath power according to wisdom, mercy, truth, justice, and judgment. And, you know, as we were born by water, blood, and the Spirit, that we must be born again. We go down into the waters of baptism. And as in 63, it says, by the water you keep the commandment. And God commands, once you hear the gospel, what do we do next? To be baptized. And by the Spirit you are justified. I know people might have different interpretations on that, but the gift of the Holy Ghost, it's a gift. It truly blesses us so much. And when we keep the commandment and go down to the waters of baptism, that we receive that gift of the Holy Ghost. And keeping the commandments is a sacrifice. And see, God, He doesn't just tell us to do it and, hey, you know, be baptized and you're not going to get anything in this life, but then, you know, I'll give you eternal life, which is the greatest of all gifts. But He doth immediately bless us. And when the hands are laid upon us and we receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, that Spirit will guide us every single day of our life. And what a blessing that is. And in a sense, we make that sacrifice, we're justified, we're blessed with that Holy, with that Spirit, with that Holy Ghost. And it's with us, and it helps us, and it comforts us. And when life is stressful, and when life is hard, and when we have challenges and problems, that We can turn to God, and He is with us, and we turn to Him, and He's there. You know, He made that sacrifice on the cross, atone for our sins, and by the blood we're sanctified. And you know, when we make that covenant in the waters of baptism, and you know, the requisite for that is repentance. And when we're continually needing to repent of our sins, and the blood of Jesus Christ, you know, will sanctify us from all our sins after all we can do, after we repent of our sins throughout our whole life and try to the best of our ability to keep His commandments. And, you know, the greatest gift that God has to offer us is the gift of salvation. And that's a... You know, this life in itself is a good life. It can be hard, but if you seek God, I mean, you'll have joy in this life. It says in Mosiah that if you keep the commandments of God, that He doth immediately bless you. You don't have to wait until you die before you're happy, until you pass on. You can immediately be blessed in this life, and what a joy and what a promise that is. In Romans chapter 8, verse 1 and 2. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit is life, and Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. And, you know, the natural man is an enemy to God, and that we want to seek after the Spirit. For the Spirit is life, the flesh. If we serve the flesh, it will no good thing come unto us. For the natural man is an enemy to God. We want to seek after the fruits of the Spirit and be blessed with love, peace, joy, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, and those type of things in our life, which will give us peace, joy, and those things which will make us happy, essentially. Because God loves us so much. And as Christ is the vine and we are the branches, we want to be as much like Jesus Christ as we can. And the ordinances of this church, when they're kept in their purity, help us to do that, to become draw closer to Christ and to be like Him and to be one with Him. I'd like to, you know, when we look at John chapter 4, you know, the woman of the well, 15 and 16, whosoever shall drink of this well shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water which I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water shall I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up until everlasting life. And then turning to John chapter 6, verse 27, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but labor for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life. And that spiritual food that Jesus Christ provides gives us life. And to dwell with Him and to be one with Him and to walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh or after the carnal man, but to seek after the Spirit, and that we can truly draw closer to Christ, even to be like Him as He's called us to be. And we want to be like Him. When he comes, we don't want to fear because we're not like Him or we don't know Him. We want to run up to Him and be excited because we will know Him and He will know us. Kind of think of my, you know, sometimes, you know, maybe in your job or something, somebody lives a, you don't necessarily have anything in common with that person maybe. You meet somebody and they're, you don't have anything in common. They live a different lifestyle than you do. And sometimes there's really not that much to talk about. I mean, you talk about business, and you might ask them how they're doing or greet them. Or, kind of some basic conversation, but the conversation doesn't go, you know, much past that. Maybe you don't have a desire to spend too much time with that person, just by the way they live their life. But then there's other people. Maybe there's other people, other saints or other Christians or other people that have a similar lifestyle to you, and you have a lot more. You want to talk to that person. You feel comfortable around that person, and you want to be around him. Same with Jesus Christ. If we're like him, then we're gonna want to be around him. Our hearts can be knit together, and our hearts can be knit together with others to a greater degree that are following Christ, and then we can be one, and our unity can increase. And what a blessing that is. And you know, I'm someone I really like food. A lot of people like to eat. I do. I always say that I'm going to follow a path that leads to food in my life. You know, and if it can get me to the next meal, and maybe that's, you can look at that from all angles. Maybe I'm going to work to provide for, you know, for myself, to provide, put food on the table. Maybe I'm going to a social gathering, and there's probably going to be food there. Or, you know, so, you know, the paths, a lot of the paths are lead to food, and I'm speaking temporally here, but the path that I want to walk is that spiritual food that we're seeking after, that as it talks about here, in verse 35, and Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh unto me shall never hunger, and he shall believe, he shall never thirst, and that your cup will be filled." And what a blessing, what a promise that is. I'd like to look in the Book of Mormon. This is 3rd Nephi chapter 8. And it came to pass that Jesus commanded his disciples that they should bring forth some bread and wine unto him, starting at verse 28. And while they were gone for bread and wine, he commanded the multitude that they should sit themselves down upon the earth. And when the disciples had come with bread and wine, he took the bread and brake and blessed it, and he gave unto his disciples and commanded that they should eat. And when they had eaten, they were filled, and commanded that they should give unto the multitude. And when the multitude had eaten and were filled, he said unto his disciples, "Behold, there shall be one ordained among you, and him I will give power, and he shall break bread and bless it, and give unto the people of my church, and upon all those who shall believe and be baptized in my name. And this shall ye always observe to do, even as I have done, even as I have broken bread and blessed it and gave it unto you. And this shall ye do in remembrance of my body, which I have shown unto you. And it shall be a testimony unto the Father that you do always remember me. And if you do always remember me, you shall have my spirit to be with you." And so what we're about to do right here in partaking of the sacrament, you know, we're remembering that baptismal covenant that we made. We're also witnessing unto the Father that we remember that sacrifice that Jesus Christ made on the cross. It says here too that, you know, when we do those things, that when we come prepared, when we repent of our sins, as we're commanded to do, we come prepared. It says that when we remember the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross, when we remember the covenant that we made in the waters of baptism, when we pray that prayer, when we ponder those things, when we do the best that we can do, it says, "And if you do always remember me, you shall have my spirit to be with you." So that's a promise. You know, the condition is there. It's laid out before us. We remember our covenant. We remember what Jesus has done for us on the cross. And then his spirit will be with us. We can draw closer to him. We can commune with him. We can commune with one another. We can have greater unity with Jesus Christ and with our brothers and sisters, with the saints. Reading further, "And it came to pass that when he had said these words, he commanded his disciples that they should take the wine of the cup and drink of it, that they should also give unto the multitude that they might drink of it. And when it came to pass that they did so and did drink of it and were filled, they gave unto the multitude, and they did drink, and they were filled." So it says here that when they partook, that they were filled. And, you know, when we partake, we are determined to be filled, that our souls are filled, that our spirits are uplifted, that we're filled with the Holy Spirit of God. We have that opportunity, as Christ said in John chapter 6, that we are to eat of his flesh and drink of his blood. And as we do that here symbolically, when we do that, that we have life in us. Reading further, "And when the disciples had done this, Jesus said unto them, Blessed are ye for this thing which ye have done, for this is fulfilling of my commandments, and doth witness unto my Father that you are willing to do that which I have commanded you. And this shall ye do always unto those who repent and are baptized in my name, and ye shall do it to remembrance of my blood which I have shed for you, that you may witness unto the Father that ye do always remember me. And if you do always remember me, you shall have my spirit to be with you. And I give unto you a commandment that ye shall do these things. And if ye shall always do these things, blessed are ye, for ye are built upon my rock." You know, just what a promise that is. That when we do these things, when the ordinances of the church, all of them, and then we're getting ready to partake in an ordinance right now, the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, that we can draw closer to Jesus Christ and fulfilling a commandment in the church. And, you know, I encourage you all that as the words are read, that you really focus on the words that are read of the prayer over the bread and the wine today. And think about those things and that they're applied in your life. And the promise is there at the end that His Spirit will always be with you. And what a joy and what a blessing. I'm just so happy to be in this gospel and looking forward to what the future is going to bring. And, you know, we'll have trials, but you know that the Lord's going to send us through, see us through, whether this life or the next. And you know, He's going to bless us. The promise is there.
As we partake, I contemplate that word, partake. It means to take on the qualities of that which we bring into us, and we are to bring in the body and the blood. We're to partake of Jesus Christ, and it is what we partake of that gives us strength. And I pray that as we partake, we consider what gives us strength. In preparation for preparing the emblems, let us turn to hymn 214, 214, and we'll remain seated while we sing this song. Brother Sharkey will offer a blessing over the bread. I would ask as much as possible that we might kneel facing the emblems.
O God, the Eternal Father, we ask Thee in the name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ, to bless and sanctify this bread to the souls of all those who partake of it, that they may eat in remembrance of the body of Thy Son, and witness unto Thee, O God, the Eternal Father, that they are willing to take upon them the name of Thy Son, and always remember Him, and keep His commandments, which He has given them, that they may always have His Spirit to be with them. Amen.
anyone miss their portion which they wish to partake. As Brother Cunningham offers a blessing over the wine, let us again kneel as much as possible facing the emblems.
O God, the Eternal Father, we ask Thee in the name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ, to bless and sanctify this wine to the souls of all those who drink of it, that they may do it in remembrance of the blood of Thy Son, which was shed for them, that they may witness unto Thee, O God, the Eternal Father, that they do always remember Him, that they may have His Spirit to be with them. Amen.
whether those that may miss their portion that wish to be served. We will soon turn to hymn 336. And I commend this service to you, saints, that we recognize the value of turning to our Lord and giving Him thanks for a way in which we can commune with Him, that we can unite our faith together as we all had opportunity to partake of that life-giving blood and the body of our Savior Jesus Christ. And my prayer is that His Spirit might manifest itself in your hearts as we walk these grounds this week, and in this service might be a stepping stone as we move out through the week.
Our Father and our God, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we have gathered, and it is in the name of Jesus Christ that we have partaken of these emblems. And now, Lord, as we stand here at the close of this portion of our service, Lord, I would ask a blessing upon this congregation, that you would touch each heart, Lord, that they might feel that renewing within their soul. As Lord, we have made our covenant with Thee. And as we have done this, Lord, now You live in us. And so, Lord, I would ask a blessing upon each one here. As we go forward from this week, Lord, may we walk in this newness of life continually and let our light shine, not just to this group of people, Lord, but to those in the world who are in darkness. We thank you for this opportunity which we had to come together once again to partake. And Lord, we count it a privilege and an honor to serve thee in the last days. And we are especially grateful for your Son, Jesus Christ, who has made all of this possible. And Lord, we pray all of this in his holy and precious name, even Jesus Christ. Amen.